Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, Chelsea, man. What's going on?
Good morning. Not too much. How you been?
Oh, fantastic.
Good. Glad to hear.
We were laughing a little bit before we started the podcast. Yeah, it is a beautiful day today. And we were talking a little bit. Well, I said we'll talk about it on the podcast, but just got back from the Firefly weekend. Have you ever gotten involved in that, or is there opportunities for you?
Yeah, I worked it. I've been in the food service business for a while. I was a bartender for a while. So when I first moved here, I actually bartended it in the past, and not this season, but last year actually was going to take the Volkswagen bus, which is my food truck. And we were going to sell up at Firefly. And
the smallest food truck.
Yes, the smallest food truck.
It's so good, though.
It is. People draws attention. People love it. You know, it's a conversation piece. We get lots of photos.
Your food truck more kind of spills out the back, like a tarp and, you know, a cool canopy and almost like a kitchen.
We have a makeshift kitchen out the backside of it. But it looks cool.
it looks great.
But so we were going to do it. And with COVID and everything, they had certain mandates. And it just didn't feel like the right time. Plus, my first store, the opening of that was delayed. So I just didn't feel like the timing was right.
Yeah.
So, and then this year, we're about to open our other store.
We're going to get into that. So you are Chelsea Mann. I want to say Mann, but it's Mann from Bountiful Bowls. And you are getting ready to open a new location at the consortium.
Yes. Yep.
And that's exciting.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, I do want to tell you, we're going to get into that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Firefly. So we got, we do a Discovery Music podcast. So we've just finished going through the whole Firefly lineup, and that's me, Dion Lamb, Jordan Gum, and Trey Krause from Carlton's down in Rehoboth.
Okay.
Great, great group. And we got some free tickets and got to go yesterday. It was awesome. Such a great event. I think, it's going through some transitions. My wife and I were talking about it, back sort of when it began, the festival started. There's a lot more local vendors in there, or local representatives, right?
Yeah, yep.
And Firefly, I think it's actually changed hands too. I think it's run by a new company now.
Yeah.
Red Frog or?
Red Frog did the food with my first year there. I believe the people that run Coachella took it over last year.
Yeah.
And I think that's AKG or AGK, something of that nature.
Yeah. I'm surprised I remembered Red Frog.
but they used to do the food, and the year that I was there, they also took over the alcohol sales, whereas the year before, Red Frog had the food, but Dover Downs actually ran the alcohol sales.
Okay.
So it has transitioned over the years as it's gotten bigger.
Yeah, I remember early on, it was like Dogfish Head. I felt like Rotto's was there. Mm-hmm. I felt like all of the local area restaurants were represented up there, but I don't know if it's just about being consistent or just price, but now
it's expensive. I mean, when I looked into doing it, you spend a couple thousand to just be there.
Okay.
And then as, a business, they take 40% of your sales. So it's pretty significant, especially in the food business, your profit margins are not that great. So 40% is a huge chunk. And that's why the prices are so exorbitant when you go there, because they have to make up for, the cost for themselves.
Well, there was literally no local restaurants represented.
Really?
Nothing that I saw.
Hopefully next year we'll be there.
Bountiful Bowls would be great. But yeah. I think they really just kind of, I was kind of looking at it yesterday, because really they've created these kind of rows of places to eat and get things to drink, but it's almost all the same, like walk and roll and these pizza slices and mac and cheese and lemonade.
Yeah, nothing healthy.
Well, we were walking next to some people and they're like, yeah, a complete
full carb weekend. I was like, that ain't so bad.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess maybe it's just for the consistency and easier to do. Because they must, I think what they must do is make it somewhere in that back in the facility and then bring it to each of the little spots and sells it. But there was some food trucks. So the other thing they did, that, I won't say they did it differently because they may have done it last year or I just didn't realize it, but they have a whole area for food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have a food truck, you can basically go into almost like a whole mall of food trucks. So I think they represent locally that way.
Yeah.
Which is a great, but we got, it's so funny. We got the greatest tickets ever yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. We're friends with a guy named Teddy Beats and his manager, Mandy, and she sent us, they had some guest passes for Sunday and asked us if we would like them. And, you know, we decided, sure. And so my wife and I got them. And this, you know, if you get the wristbands, this wristband took you everywhere.
Ooh, yeah. The Super VIP?
Super VIP Plus.
Okay. Because
you actually got artist compound access.
Cool.
So,
did you meet anybody interesting and fun?
Well, let me tell you the story real quick. So, we go there and we're living big time and we're in the VIP and it was really cool. There were some bands. Oh, He Dead was a great band out of DC that we wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see them. Floor. There was a lot of great bands. But at 4:30, Mandy and Teddy Beats were coming down. We were all going to get together and then go back and check out the artist compound. But you could see this storm rolling in.
Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I swear to God, we were watching the Regrets, great band. Mm-hmm. And almost through their set, these big yellow signs come up on the screens, evacuate Firefly. And we're like, what? I mean, doesn't this pass right here keep us in the...
Yeah, there's no shelter, there's no...
Yeah,
like,
evacuation prevention, isn't this on this wristband? And they're like, get out. So they emptied Firefly.
For completely. How long?
Well, my wife and I left.
Okay.
But we went, you know, it's funny, we went early. We got there at about 11:30. They opened the doors at 12, so we got there early.
Uh-huh.
We got to see a lot of the main bands. We really wanted to see T-Pain.
Okay.
And he was playing yesterday at 7. We did not get to see
you evacuated.
We got evacuated. But 2 hours later, they opened the gates back up and let everybody back in. But we were like, you know, we weren't prepared to sit in the car for 2 hours.
Yeah, who wants to do that?
Nobody wants to do that. If we had, maybe if, like Trey Krause and a couple other people had gotten there around 4 because Trey had to work,
mm-hmm.
he probably hung out, right? Because he'd basically come in and then got kicked out. So I'm sure Trey hung out.
Yeah.
But we went home and then we sat on the couch and were full of regret, sadness.
Hey, it just wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't meant to be, but it was a lot. We were there probably 5 or 6 hours, and we got to experience some VIP stuff. You know, it's not a big deal, but it felt good. And like I said, Floor was awesome. Oh, He Dead was awesome. The Regrets, awesome. Just so we got to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But we really would have liked to have seen T-Pain.
That's, but it's okay. You got to see, you know, it's kind of those up and coming artists that aren't as well known are really good to see live, you know, because it's a whole new experience.
Yeah.
I had gone last year and just nighttime because someone had given me some passes. So I went up and, you know, when I was seeing some people live, they just didn't have the sound quality that I expected.
Mm.
And I actually I was at See Here Now last weekend. And like Stevie Nicks played, who was amazing. Boy mm-hmm. George and the Culture Club, which I'd loved, but didn't even know he was still performing.
Great
but
singer.
He did such a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And then they had Michael Franti, and he was super high energy. Took crowd up on the stage all the time, even like jumped over the fences with the general admission people, you know. And then by Sunday was a big day. And they had a lot of the people that were also at Firefly. So... like the Head and the Heart was there, and Green Day was the closer.
Okay.
And they slayed it. They did a great job. But my heart was with Stevie Nicks because she just moved me. You know, she just, you feel her music. You know?
It brings all of your youth out.
Yeah.
Every moment, every breakup, every happy moment from being a teen.
Yeah.
Because I went and saw Fleetwood Mac. Actually, this has probably been probably almost 20 years now. We went and saw them up at Camden.
Okay.
It was Fleetwood Mac's first reunion tour.
Really?
When they'd first come back. And a friend of mine was like, I got tickets. I go, I'll go.
Yeah.
And so we went to the lawn, but I mean,
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac comes out and you almost like a tear rolls down your face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And Green Day did play on Saturday.
Did you see them?
I didn't. You know what the problem is, Chelsea? What? We moved. And it's expensive to move. I didn't realize this. I thought everything was free.
I know. And then you don't realize how much stuff you have. You're like, hey, we don't have that much stuff. And then every nook and cranny, you're like, holy cow.
Well, we also, like, we were in this little house and we rented it out. Mm-hmm. And the people were like, hey, anything you don't want to take, mm-hmm. leave it. We'll use it.
Yeah.
You know, furniture. We're like, I'll take my toothbrush and I'll take my car keys yeah. and I'm out.
Peace.
And they love it. But I'm like, we don't have any salt or pepper. We don't have any garlic. I mean, we don't have anything. Yeah. So it was expensive. It's just a weird time. But
yeah.
So we were like, you know, we'll skip it. We'll do it next year. And then, of course, Mandy and Titty Beats offered us some passes for Sunday. So we did go. But it's, you know, I think it's at a time in our lives, at least, that we have to really think about, you know, what we want to spend on our money on.
Yeah.
And, you know, use it wisely so we have more left.
Well, that's true. That's good.
Very important.
So you're smart about it. Like, I mean, I've not had to pay for Firefly yet, but I do understand the expense, you know, and I'm not, you know, I was fortunate to see Here Now. I did pay for tickets, but to rent, that's in Asbury Park. Are you familiar with See Here Now?
I'm familiar with it because it was the first place Pearl Jam came back at last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pearl Jam headlined See Here Now last, I guess it was, I mean, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. I don't know. It seems like time flies all of a sudden. Like, yeah. You mean that was 5 years ago?
all warp speeded through COVID times, you know, like that part of our lives didn't exist.
Right. So. I think it was last year. I think it was last year at, actually this time. So, yeah. But I know we'd come out of the pandemic. I know there were some bands that kind of got nailed in that. Pearl Jam was one of them.
Yeah.
Announced their tour mm-hmm. one day and then the next day canceled the whole thing. So, as a fan of Pearl Jam, always kind of paying attention to what they're doing. And that was really, they actually played the Ohana Festival first.
Okay.
No, I think they played the See Here Now and then played Ohana.
Okay.
But yeah, so I definitely remember it. No, yeah. I remember wanting to go. It's on the beach, right?
It's right on the beach in Asbury. Yep. We rented an RV because we couldn't get like a hotel close. So we parked our RV at the main entrance. So it was a unique experience. I like traditional camping, but it was fun because you just walked out the RV. And
traditional camping doesn't exist anymore. Nothing
for me,
traditional.
True, but I'm like a true naturalist. I'm a little hippie child that likes my feet grounded in on the sand or dirt.
I'm with you.
It is right in Asbury Park, right on the beach. So, and every morning they have like free beach yoga right there. There's a lady who's on stage, and so she walks you through yoga as the sun's rising. So that was amazing. And then, you know, they have the old convention center, which is great. And I'm from New Jersey, so, and I was born and raised there. So the history is nice to see. And, but it's wonderful festival because they are all about being environmentally friendly, which, if you know, like with my business, we don't, everything we use is compostable.
Yeah, as I eat with your wooden spoon.
So it really kind of
very
spoke
good.
Thank you. It spoke to my heart that they don't use plastic. You know, you're allowed to bring in your reusable water bottles like a Yeti, and then you can refill at the hydro stations. And any cups you buy, or if you buy water, it's all canned water that is recyclable, you know, all recyclable cans. And
Who thought we'd ever see that?
I know. Like, I sell these at the store. They're recyclable, like, bottles.
Is that one?
Yeah.
Is that water?
Yeah, it's water. And you can refill them. It's like a reusable water bottle once you get done. So.
They're not good for me.
Why not?
You got to wash it. Right?
Yes.
Well, I won't.
But you have your reusable cup right there. Do you wash that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put it through the dishwasher.
I'm just saying that's the shrinkage in diameter of the opening of my cup compared to that reusable bottle. I'll just never, like, I can't, I just.
Put it through the dishwasher.
People will be like, have you ever washed this? I'm like, no, am I supposed to?
I just drink the water so fast. My lips never touch the
No contamination ever. Well, it is good. I mean, it's nice to see. Us doing great things like that, but
it is. And the festival, they have reusable plastic. They have a special bin for those. They actually clean and recycle and reuse them. So it speaks near and dear to my heart because once you get done Firefly, the amount of garbage and plastic and non-recyclables, and I think people are more conscious and aware now, but there's just so many people, controlling that is very tough. So,
well, I will say at Firefly, they are very, like after every show mm-hmm. or after every band leaves the stage, a bunch yeah. of people come in and just immediately start picking stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't see one piece of trash on the ground.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I think it's all, you know, like you said, it's on the people's part and the show's part. And everybody seems to be doing a great job.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, it was, and it, like to your point, it's really why I like Firefly is because, yeah. you know, you look at a headline, you look at the four headliners, which were Halsey, mm-hmm. My Chemical Romance was on
I'm
Friday.
Sure that would have been a good show.
Yeah.
Too. I haven't seen them, I haven't heard them in a long time, but I grew up. You know, listening to them, and they seemed like a good band. I've never seen them live.
Well, I'm sure they were great live. I didn't. Yeah. And then Green Day.
Uh huh. Oh, they did a great job.
And then last night was Dua Lipa.
Okay.
And so, but if you know, I like Green Day, mm-hmm. but you know, a few of those aren't really my favorite acts, and it's really not my wheelhouse. But
yeah,
all the other bands. One of my favorite bands was a band called Oh He Dead.
Okay.
And it's a band out of DC, mm-hmm. and they were excellent. And, you know, they're unsigned. The guy's like, you know, we got to beat the algorithm.
Yeah.
Pre-like our song on pre-sale and it'll help the algorithm. I mean, these guys are hustling.
Yeah.
Their future.
That's what, I mean, to know you did it on your own, I mean, that makes you that much more grateful.
Right.
You know? What kind of music do they sing?
Play some.
All right, why not? Yeah.
I'll play the song that I really like, but... It's almost like, it's funny, it's almost like a little bit of a combination between like Macy Gray.
Okay.
And I'll let you, if I can find it, let's see here. Oh. I got it right here. Come on. Oh, He Dead. Where are you? let's see. Sorry. Well,
no worries.
This will be fun though, because they were actually really good. And the fact that they're out of D.C. was really cool as well.
Mm-hmm. They're almost local.
Yeah, they're almost local. And they actually came on our podcast, which, you know, anytime somebody does that is always cool. Here's the song.
That's wonderful. Let's see. Yeah.
It's like Macy Gray and Kings of Leon.
Yeah, both great performers.
First time playing music on the podcast.
Really? I'm like so over your situation. What a great voice. Over you messing with my life now. I'm like so over your situation. Over you messing with my life now. Do you get chills? I just got chills.
When I think of. Yeah, anyway, so we don't want to get copyright. I don't know. Don't want to get in trouble. But yeah, that's Oh He Dead. They're so good. And like I said, they came on the podcast and did an interview with us. And anybody that does that, we're like big fans of.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite song, and they did not play it.
Oh.
Oh, He Dead. What? So we went, oh, we home. No, but it was fun. You know, can't wait till next year. It's I didn't really see the attendance, like... Since we were there early, it was pretty sparse. Not that it wasn't attended, but, you know, I think people might have been sleeping in or going to breakfast. I think when you're kind of living up there for... Because I have a 17-year-old. He went for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
He's like, see you guys. Left on Thursday. Uh-huh. Came home last night.
Uh-huh.
I called him yesterday. I'm like, where are you? We're at Target building a totem. I'm like, what's a totem? You know, the big thing you carry into the festival. I'm like, oh, shit, he's a festival guy now. I go, well, don't get caught in the rain. He goes, hope not. You know, like it's, where did our youth go, Charles?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, is it going to rain? Let's get out of here, dear. It's going to be dangerous, you know. And he's like, we're building a totem to stretch 20 feet into the sky.
Yeah, at least he's resourceful.
Yeah, at least they're having fun.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, it just seemed, you know, it was thin, but I think as the day would have gone, the day went on, it would have built, and it was. Yeah. And the other thing that was kind of funny is they had, they blocked out time for the Eagles Commanders game, football game.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they have it on a projector or one of the main stages? And
big that? Screen. And really? The Eagles issued out a beatdown on the Washington Commanders. And it was funny, it was one of the stages, and I forget the name of the stage, but they were showing all the game, mm-hmm. packed full of Eagles fans, and then overflowing with Eagles fans. And then behind them was about nine little like golf carts of cops.
Okay.
And I go, oh, look at the cops are watching the game. I go, wait a minute. No, the cops are watching the Eagles fans watching the game. Maybe, I don't know, yeah. but it was definitely a secure location.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, the Eagles fans are notorious for getting a little unruly.
They're passionate. They're passionate. We don't want to say anything bad about anybody.
No, no.
And that, it wouldn't be bad, but they're passionate.
They are, yeah, for and I sure. love that.
And, well, yes. and it's funny because they're good. The Eagles are very good this year.
I've heard. I've not watched it this year. I've not really watched any professional football yet this year. I don't know if you know, but my brother was, he played for the Carolina Panthers for a little bit. So, he did well. He actually was at Penn State for a long time, and very then cool. He had an injury. And by the time he went to the Panthers, he had a brain injury. So, he had gone to the Panthers, and he wound up with a few concussions and was going through some CTE study. So he
probably a few more than a few.
Yeah, yeah. He was an offensive lineman, so they just take hits. You know, that's kind of what they do. So it happens.
Is
often.
He okay now?
Yeah. I mean, he retired a little early from the NFL, and he has two kids now. So yeah, once he had his first child, his perspective really shifted, which was good because when he was in college and he had his first brain injury, we were concerned. So, but you know, you just always want to make it to the NFL, and he can say he made it. He did. But when he was there, we had been to Eagles Stadium for a game, and the Eagles lost. So.
Oh, geez.
But I had never, no, you know, I always knew that they had the holding cell, and the police had a presence at Eagles Stadium, and it is the only stadium that does. But I never.
That's not
quite
so. That's not true. Because unfortunately, everybody gets drunk at a lot of stadiums.
Yeah.
They actually have jails in a lot of the stadiums. I mean, are they bars? No, but they definitely have a door with a lock you can't get out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we painted this picture about the Eagles.
Well,
mean,
that's good.
They deserve a little of it, but yeah. I think they're not the only stadium that if you end up bad, you're going to end up in a broom closet with a lock.
Yeah. I mean, some people just deserve it, no matter who you're a fan of, you know.
Well, we watched the Eagles game last week, and I was like, oh. I think I might like the Eagles a little bit. So
I was really happy the last few years that they've had such success because I do think they've worked hard for it. So I am very proud to see them on a good roll this year so far too.
Their new coach Sirianni is turning out to be really, from what I'm seeing on the football field, pretty awesome.
That's
because
great.
I don't know, man. They're very good. I feel like someone's going to be eating horse crap again on the Super Bowl parade or whatever. Remember last? Remember when the guy ate the horse? You got to love that.
Yep.
Well, let's get into why you're here. Because the reason you're here is because you make awesome bowls.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, you are moving over. We won't get into the politics of the whole situation, but you're coming over to the consortium.
Yeah.
So, and I think there was another business that was going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Things changed.
Yeah.
They gave you the opportunity.
Yeah.
You jumped on it.
Yes. I had actually reached out to the school about 2 years ago before I had my first store open because I heard about the opportunity. The consortium had built the new school and they had allotted 5 spaces to put businesses in. With the idea that they would have 5 different skill sets for kids to learn because the consortium kids go out and they have job training. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the kids go to school till they're 21 and they teach them life skills at certain points throughout their school career. And then they teach them job skills because they want them to assimilate into society, you know. So about
when it gives you purpose.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
something about working.
Yes, yes.
I tried not working. I didn't feel that good about it.
No.
There's something about a good day of suffering at work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I get that.
So I had reached out to them, and at the time, this other business had already was slotted to go in the space, and they only wanted one food business because they wanted to have different types of businesses so the kids could learn different job skills.
Sure. I think right now we can give a Bad Hair Day a shout out.
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
Drexel.
Yeah. So Drexel has Bad Hair Day. And what happened actually, the units were kind of small. So Drexel actually took 2 units and I have 2 units.
Not surprised.
And then they're...
Drexel goes big.
Yes, he does. Go big or go home. But go big love or go it. Home. You gotta love him for it. He's just such a pleasure.
And a little shout out to him because he's been walking this trail.
Yeah, Camino, dude.
The Camino...
Yeah. Santiago, Camino, I think. Yeah.
And he is shrinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks amazing.
I know. I'm like, so, yeah. Drexel, what's going on, man? Sorry. He's looking great. So keep it up, Drexel. I don't know if he's home or if he's back. But.
I think he just ended a few days ago, so I'm hoping he's back by now. But yeah, he seemed to have a great journey. Both, he
looks good.
Yeah, so he looks great. Even, I think, spiritually, it has definitely touched him. So, yeah. And again, another kind soul like yourself. So he has done great things, and we're excited to be there. He was trying to get me to move downtown for the last like year and a half. There was some space across from his salon down there.
His old salon.
Yeah. So he's like, Chelsea, come down here. So it kind of worked out nicely that it didn't happen for Rehoboth, but we are able to have it in our Lewis area. So I'm excited. We were at his grand opening for his space. And ours is coming along. So yeah. I would say any day now we should be getting open. But I'm excited to have the kids work with us. And, you know, it was after losing the space 2 years ago, or, you know, it not working out, I was very happy when the school reached out to me to say that the space was available again. So, and it's going to be a great fit. I never really realized because I don't live in that area, but there isn't too much in terms of food. And, you know, people are also on this health kick where they're looking for more like gluten-free vegan stuff, and acai bowls are popular wherever you go. So, and of course, that being our mainstay, it's important. And then we have our cold pressed juices and smoothies. So I really have seen things pick up, and this area is just taking off. It's developed a lot more. People have moved to the area and people are more health conscious, both, I think, just being aware, but also with COVID, I think people have been more aware of their health and the impact that taking care of yourself has when you do come down with a virus or any kind of infection. So we do hold a lot of responsibility when it comes to being able to help stave things off, you know, in terms of disease and viruses. So
radicals, free radicals. Well, yeah. I think, and I don't think it's kind of a health care or niche. I think it's sort of what I know. I try to live a cleaner life,
yeah,
you know, and it's not just, oh, I'm going to eat a bowl, I'm good for the week. No, it's really, you know, one of the things about going to Firefly, which we enjoyed, but we ate a lot of crap. You know, we didn't drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
And, you know, drank like $10 lemonade.
Yeah.
And we drank some some pizzas, and we ate all this different stuff. And so I came home yesterday. Last night, I was like, ugh, I didn't really feel that good. I feel a little better today, but, you know, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't mean you have to live on Bountiful Bowls.
No.
Right? But it's... But when you want, like, I knew we were going to do this tomorrow, this morning, you know, I knew that you would bring me a bowl, which I always appreciate. Yeah. And I knew it would be kind of sweet, and I knew it would, like, have peanut butter and all these crunchy things. I hope I didn't crunch into the microphone, but it's good stuff.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I have to eat that every day, right?
No.
It's a, it's, you know, you get to mix great stuff in.
Yeah.
You know.
Life's about balance.
I only drink two things, water and coffee.
Okay.
And so whenever I don't, I add something new, like lemonade, a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
You can feel, you know, that sugar, not like, you know, strawberries, natural sugar. Not natural sugars, that sugar web or whatever it's called. But you feel it, you know, you feel the energy change.
Yeah.
It's not always clean. It feels kind of, you know, sluggish in the end. And, you know, so it's really just a lifestyle change.
It is. I think there's heightened awareness now. Yeah. I think people are just, they're more aware of themselves and their bodies. And, you know, for many years, we didn't know there was preservatives in food, or people never talked about it, you know.
Scammed us.
Yeah. And then we became still aware. Scamming us. It's true. It's getting better. But
I'm not going to the world today.
I'd love to, but unfortunately, that's not the reality of it.
Got a bountiful ball on my face.
I think there's a napkin on the side.
Doesn't matter. I put it on my pants. Yeah, no. The other thing that's kind of interesting and nice is that, you know, if I was going to go home and if I'm like, you know, I want to make a bountiful bowl today.
Yeah.
It'd be expensive to buy all the stuff for me to make one.
Yep, yeah.
And then I'd probably make one bowl and then half the strawberries would go bad. I mean, half the strawberries go bad immediately when you get them home.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're providing everything super fresh, delicious. you know, right there. And it's not like I have waste the rest of it at home.
Right. Yeah, it's true. A lot of people have a hard time just because it is expensive, even if you are making it on your own.
Yeah.
But it's hard. You know, our base has more of a ice cream consistency, and I make it myself, and we don't add sugar. A lot of acai-bowl places get the frozen pulp packets, and unbeknownst to most people, that they actually take some of the nutrients out. They take a layer of the skin where a lot of the nutrients are. So a lot of places are getting stuff that's not the whole berry. It's not like, you know, the pure berry. So ours is. So we have way less sugar in ours, you know, than a lot of places. So calorie-wise, we're almost half than most acai bowl places because we don't put in all the added sugar. There's still banana in our regular base.
Banana's good.
Yeah. It has wild blueberries in there. There's a little bit of cinnamon. You know, there's a lot of things that, again, they're good for our overall health. So Try to do what we can.
If a person doesn't realize what a bountiful bowl is, it's basically the foundation is the
acai
ice cream-ish kind of frozen stuff.
So, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then that's sort of the first layer. And it looks like there's a bunch of strawberries.
Yeah. So I brought you strawberries and pineapple.
Strawberries and pineapple.
Because those are my favorite.
Delicious.
And then they all get topped with granola and honey. And you can add on other things if you'd like. I brought you the peanut butter on top because I also, that is my favorite setup.
Well, you realize I'm an athlete.
Yes.
And
I know.
Only athletes can eat peanut butter.
That's right. And it's natural peanut butter. It has no sugar or anything in it. So it's the good stuff.
Well, I almost need to go to peanut butter meetings because I am addicted to that stuff.
You have a problem.
And I go on like 6 week benders. I mean, I buy ice cream, I just dunk apples in it, galoop. I mean, I'm like, wow, that was a whole
ice cream or peanut butter?
Peanut butter, excuse me. Did I say ice cream?
Yes.
Good God, I do not eat ice cream, but I love peanut butter.
Yes, I was going to say you dunk your apples in ice cream. Okay.
Oh yeah, and I buy these apples from Aldi.
Oh, the big ones.
No, they're called.
Like $2 an apple?
They're like disco apples or something. I know they have this great, they're in a bag.
Okay.
They're $5. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Where do you buy your stuff? The fruit? Does it matter?
We being part of the farmers markets and being a firm believer, a firm believer in supporting our local farmers, I try to shop as much as I can from local farmers. So we do a lot with, the local guys, but this time of year, I mean, obviously we have pineapple and bananas. They don't grow here. So those I do buy, but I've used food purveyors in the past. And oftentimes I'll get like, you know, a case of green pineapple, which I have to let ripen. And my space is small. The other space is bigger, but, you know, I don't have a week to let it ripen. I need this stuff right away. So more or less, I usually shop around. I do get some things from food purveyors. But in terms of fruit and produce, I believe that food speaks to you and you have to go. And a lot of it you have to choose yourself because, I mean, I know what things should look like when they're ripe and, you know, what not to buy. Because when I'm juicing is a big, big thing. If I'm juicing a pineapple, sometimes what a quarter of a pineapple will yield in flavor, I would have to use a green pineapple. I'd have to use like 1.5 and I wouldn't even get the flavor I needed. Right. So I am very selective about where I get my pineapple and my other fruit from. So, but I mean, I just have to shop around.
Well, I think I ran into you a giant.
Yeah.
I think you had a big cart or something.
Bananas. Everyone thinks I have a bunch of monkeys at home, but I go through about 80 pounds of bananas a day between batching acai base and everything we do with our smoothies and then also with the topping of the acai bowls. So I go through a lot of bananas. So, and there's no way I can keep all of them in the store, you know, every day. So more often than not, I am at Giant and you will see me with a huge cart full of bananas, and I can't tell you how many stares I get every day because that's...
Well, and it's funny, especially in the early summer or midsummer, if you go into Giant early, you'll see all like these small local businesses like buying watermelons, buying bananas, buying whatever it is that's going to basically be a big staple for their day. I think Green Man, that guy used to come in.
Green Man does, Twist does.
Yeah.
And Julie does the same thing. And it's hard because they charge you an arm and a leg with these food purveyors, and then you can't use it right away, or it's bad, and then you have to go through the process of returning it and getting new product. But if you need the product then and there, you know, sometimes it's easier just to go right to the store and get it yourself, because you can choose it. But Green Man, he has shopped this grocery store, and for the same reason, Twist too, and it's just, you know what you're getting because you're choosing it, and it's cheaper. You know, we're in a hard place because food costs have gone up so much.
Oh, my goodness.
We're also...
I almost gave it up. Just gave up food. I'm just going to eat bountiful bowls every day.
That works.
One bowl a day is all I get.
Yeah.
I'm sure people would survive.
They would. It's very... It's full of omega 369s. It's good for satiety, so it's very filling. It'll stick with you for like two meals. So You may be set on bountiful bowls.
That'd be fun. 100 days on bountiful bowls. What will happen?
Yeah, then? You'd be nice. Well, you're already thin, but you'd be thinner.
Oh, Chelsea, thank you, because I don't feel it. Well, that's the whole point was I love Aldi.
Yeah, I love Aldi too.
Their fruit is awesome.
Yeah.
And their avocados.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They are. They definitely do a good job. And I believe they're a European company originally, so they have higher standards in terms of like pesticides and, you know, things being organic. They have, you know, more strict layers than we do here in our country.
We did, I think I'm going to have to hire my kids as my new TikTok folks, because they are social media, the reels, these different things that are now becoming required for people like you and me to be able to do.
Yeah.
To have any success.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like without reels, I'm never going to have any success.
Right? Yeah.
No TikTok, no success.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hire my children, my 10-year-olds. You know?
Yeah. Sounds like a good idea.
Well, but it's interesting because, you know, we're going through not only cost and different things, but almost our perspective, our thoughts, right? A lot of people have opinions like, you know, whether it's people don't want to work, or people are lazy, or people want to work, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing is this real, the artsy kind of lifestyle coming out. And it's kind of, you know, I read a book and it was talking about how the millennials are going to save the world. And, you know, prior to the pandemic, you know, if you would have said millennials are saving the world, people would have laughed. Like, millennials, they don't want to do anything or whatever.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to see, like, pre-pandemic, I was a server.
Mm-hmm.
Post-pandemic, I'm painting a mural on your restaurant.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pre-pandemic, I was cutting grass. Post-pandemic, I've created, you know, a grass business, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's just this big change and this shift. And for people like myself, I don't always see, like, I don't understand. But now I'm starting to, as I watch with my kids, and they're so, you know, they're so creative and they're so artsy. And it's just a whole world that's changing. And now I'm sort of at a place where I almost have to pay my 10-year-old
mm-hmm.
to do my social media.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that seems to be the future. We bought this organic mango. My father-in-law bought it for my daughter. And it must have been this big.
Oh, wow.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And so my daughter's like, let's do a reel. Let's do a TikTok on it. I'm like, oh, okay. We're going to do a TikTok on a mango.
Uh-huh.
So she's like, cut it. Let's do the, you know, because I do the diamond and then I turn it inside out.
Yeah.
So we did it all. 5,000 views on that mango video. How are you looking at using social media in the past, in the present, and in the future? And are you enjoying some of these fun things that we get to do as far as like reels and stuff?
I have yet to tap into that myself.
You need to hire my 10-year-old.
Yes. I have some of the kids in the store. We talked about doing it. I'm like, we'll do it. Then we get busy. So then, you know, it never came to fruition. But if I spent the time to do it, I could do it. I'm just so busy. I spent the summer, I was lucky to get 2-3 hours of sleep a night for like 6 months. So I just didn't have the time to do many things I should do for myself, let alone start doing reels and TikToks. But I do see it happening in the foreseeable future for sure. And the kids are better at it. It's their niche.
Yeah.
Not that I'm anti-technology. I'm an energy person and an empath, and I don't resonate with electronics,
right.
You know? So being that I'm so busy, I'm also not taking care of myself at the moment. I'm working on that now, actually getting back into getting proper amount of sleep.
Day one, today.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Starting now.
Exactly. There's no time like the present. So I am back on track. But with that, I don't connect with it. If anything, it takes away from me. Mm-hmm. My feet on the ground, being barefoot and outside, is my happy place. So, and if I find my balance again, maybe I can start doing it myself. But the kids, it's what they do. And as long as I can oversee everything, you know, to make sure at least they show me their final product before it gets posted, I'm very content with letting them run away with it, because they know what people their age and people who watch TikToks and Reels do. I don't watch TikToks. I have seen some Reels, but I see what it does. And with everyone, you just sit there watching and you have a Reel that's 15 seconds and then the next one comes. And I see them not remembering what was the Reel prior to it. You know, right. You ask them about the content from the Reel previous and they don't know.
Yeah.
But it is set based off of your likes and your, you know, it uses that logarithm of things that are in your interests, you know. So I know it works and I know it's ever present and I need to dive in. But I'm hopeful that I have some of the younger generations. And I have someone who has worked for me and he does audiovisual stuff and he has offered to help me. So I'm content leaving it in their hands, you know. But they've always told me, you're like, you know, you should just make bowls and you should do all these like clips of, you know, talk about the nutrition and the difference between our bowls, you know, and a typical bowl that you'd get from, say, you know, a chain place, you know. So I know it's there. I know it's ever present. But it's funny when I do like an Instagram post, I know it does not yield. Like I'll post a picture and it does not.
Seven likes.
Yes, exactly. And then I have a great customer and her daughter actually works for me now, but she is great at these posts and she makes them, she'll do them in like 5 minutes, you know, and they're so cute and she'll tag us and then I'll repost it. We get all these views and all these likes and I'm like, okay, I know it's there, you know, I know I need to do it, but I haven't done it myself yet, but it is on the docket of things that need to be done.
Cause I guess the point is, I just feel like these kids are, I mean, it's just, the world is changing and I just feel like there are so many great things that are going down and are coming out of this that, if you are like, I'm 54, I don't know how old you are, you don't have to say, but you know, when we're kind of at an age, it's easy to not recognize it because it's completely different than what we did 3 years ago. But I think, you know, I love the fact that the world is changing. Yeah. The time I grew up with, it was such a passive aggressive sort of time. It's like, what do you mean you don't want to stay extra couple hours and work? Because aren't you a go getter, right? Yeah. Aren't you taking one for the team? You'd be like, yeah, because I'd be afraid of losing my job.
Right.
Right? What do you mean? Everybody stays an extra hour and doesn't get paid and works? I guess I do, too. And now we're coming out of this, like, I've heard of the quiet quitting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, lazy bum. But then I'm like, that's very smart. Like, I remember working in the golf course industry.
Yeah.
I used to have to be at work at 6:30. My boss would be walking the golf course at 4:30 in the morning with a flashlight. I'm like, should I come earlier? By the time it was said and done, I was coming to work at 5 in the morning and working till 5, all because I was afraid of losing my job. And it was weird.
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm like, well, what kind of racket was that?
But maybe that's, you know, that's just a testament of your character, you know, because I certainly imagine not everyone was right there with you, like all of your coworkers were not.
I think I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah,
I think that I do lack a little bit of the. First of all, I didn't like that job. I didn't like doing it. I just did it because it was kind of presented to me, and I'm like, well, I do want to have a better career. But
you still came in early no matter what you do, you give all of yourself.
Yeah, but I think it was more because I was afraid to get fired. But I felt sort of the way it was. The point is, I just like where we're headed. I love this that, you know, people are. You know, it doesn't look like when you and I grew up. It definitely doesn't look like when I grew up. But it's a different time, and there's ways for people to make money and be artistic. And I love the Reels. I love working a hard day's work. I'll get up. I'll run, you know, miles on before work. I'll do whatever I have. But I will sit for an hour and look at Reels.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And I love the artists out there and the comedians. Yeah. And it cracks me up. We were laughing. I'm like, at some point, they're going to just start selling half a song, right?
Sure.
You can buy half a song, just the front part, the glorious part, and then not buy the second half.
I agree. I mean, I like where it's heading, but there are other sides of it. I know you talk about the quiet quitter, and the way I look at it, my business is one of the toughest ones to be in.
Yes.
If you have a skill or labor, you're charging hourly, like the amount of hours you invest in the time to do that work, right? And then you still bill out your material costs, all that stuff. And even, you know, when you do hair, you charge them by the time usually, yep. You know, right? So for me, I invest all this time and money, and food cost has gone up.
Yeah.
And I need employees to help me.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that can contribute to profit loss in my business, especially. I don't use frozen foods, you know. I make my product, but when I'm making salads, what have you, they're perishable. If I don't use them,
yeah,
they're done, right? So, and then I have staff, and I have to train them, and it takes time. I'm teaching them nutrition, I'm teaching them people skills, but because a lot of kids have been through COVID. I've helped teach at the school too, so I've seen technologies used a lot. Kids are lacking interpersonal skills, like yeah. They can't communicate because their faces are in electronics. They can respond to you for 2 seconds on a phone, but when you try to talk to them eye to eye, they don't have that capability because they're not taught it.
I have some, and you're right.
But with that, I'm teaching them all those things, and my kids for the summer, for example, were all young, high school age. They all wanted to work. Some were going into college. I had college age kids reach out to me too. But it took me 10, 12 weeks to get them to the point that I could leave them on their own. So I had to be there, spend all this money training all of them, and then they leave. Fortunately for me, a lot of them like it. So they want to work after school and on the weekends. But I'm seeing this turnover even in all ages. You know, you're investing all this time and money into training somebody. And there were many, many years that your resume, the longevity you spent, like the length of time you spent at a business was very telling of your character, right?
Right.
Because all businesses spend a lot of time and money training people. But if you're only there for a short amount of time, when like they had built in, training is built into your long-term pay, right? But if you're only there for 3 months and I've spent all this money training you, I'm not getting my return back because you're not sticking with me. So these quiet quitters aren't helping us. Like, and we see it a lot in the food business here. It's a very seasonal place here. Also, there's a lot to choose from right now because there's jobs. Everyone's looking for staff.
Yeah.
The fact that restaurants have to close like 2-3 days a week just to give their staff a break because they don't have enough staff is very telling. And I also reach out to companies that I pay for services, and I've found myself walking their staff through what they should be doing to help me.
Yeah.
And it's because they're not investing the time in training anymore because the turnover rate is so high. And I understand why these companies are doing it, because if they pay to train you and then you leave, then they're at a greater loss.
Yeah.
So instead everything's kind of changing in that regard, where people aren't getting trained properly.
Yeah.
It's making it very difficult to, you know, have customer service, whether it be on the phone. I mean, some of it's been something as basic as like, you know, Google ads or things that I'm paying for. But I'm seeing it everywhere.
So would it make more sense to pay somebody more money that, not you, and I'm not, not saying nobody's getting paid. I'm just saying, would it be more, would it work out better if you paid somebody more so that, would it be worth it to pay somebody more and not lose them later and waste that money than to just pay somebody more and hopefully guarantee that they stay?
Well, that's not always the motivator. It's not always money. It's, you know, I'm not happy here. I don't like that. I don't like how someone talks to me. Well, sometimes
I don't
want to
take this out.
Sometimes we have to do jobs that are not pleasant, you know, or not what we foresee ourselves doing for the forever. And that, you know, I had some young kids that applied, never had a job before, you know, and they want to start at $15 an hour. Yeah. You know, that's something you have to earn. Plus, in my business, we have tips, and I've built my business, and my customers take care of you. You just have to make a connection with them.
Yeah.
But part of that is teaching them you actually are in control of how much you make. If you put in that time and effort and you truly reach out to people to connect with them, you don't go through the motions and just say, hey, how are you today? If you don't mean it, people know.
Well, and tips are interesting because we went really from, like, if you were a server, you got a tip, right? You went to a restaurant, you tipped. Now, really, there's a tip bowl at every counter that you go to. And then you're starting, like, what is it that happened here? You know, so, I mean, I get it. We're trying to, but at the same time, you know, is it expected? Is it mandatory now that we just, and does it matter if you are, do a good service?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just went to a restaurant the other day. The food was good. I won't say the service was great. And the guy that I called into, he was terrible.
Yeah.
But I know he's a young guy, and I know he's part of this kind of 15, 16, 17, because I have a 17-year-old, and he just like you said, he was weird. He did not grow up. He did not get an iPad. Mm-hmm. He was just my next son, Sam.
Yeah.
He walks around like a waiter.
Yeah. Right?
He's got the iPad, but David did not have it. Uh-huh. But David got his first job at Casey's down on the Avenue during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
He was making $7 an hour, did see the big change. But David's been working there. I mean, now he makes $15, $16 an hour. But he's been there. And he's learned all of his communicating skills at work.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, you know, they're into their phones. I'm into my phone. Everybody's into their phones.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to look like in 10 years? I mean, I sort of picture this, and I think they're building one now. Just south of the community bank, there's a restaurant or a thing being built where it's only going to be DoorDash. I mean, they're just going to have food, they're going to make it there, and then it's only going to be delivered.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. You know, we have DoorDash for my store, and they take a huge percentage of profit. I mean, they make more by the time I pay staff, cost of goods, and everything like that. And then they want to take, I mean, you have tiers, but if you choose a lesser tier, you're least desirable to, I don't know, are you a DoorDash person?
No.
Well, people can pay for Dash Pass where they pay for like a monthly subscription. Say it's like 10 or 15 bucks and it kind of gives you like, you get a discount on the delivery fee or it's a free delivery fee and you just have to pay the service charge and the tip for the driver. But when you are in the lower tier where they take 15% commission, they actually then the customer has to pay like $4.99 for a delivery fee, $2.99 for a service fee, plus the tip. So it's like $8 before you even tip your driver. And so say it's a $10 minimum if you factor in at least a $2 tip. And, you know, that every person has to pay that for that convenience. But the person that's not really hit hard is not DoorDash, and the drivers aren't taken care of. Like, I mean, they get their pay, but it's not like that extra money.
Some DoorDash drivers not happy.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot because they come into my store, and you really have to be in the 25% or 30% commission to reap the benefits as a business owner. But then my bottom line is marginal. Like, it's very, very, very little. They're making more than I do. And all the work, blood, sweat, and tears is coming from my business.
Yeah.
But in order for it to get out there, we've had a lot of construction in front of my store all throughout the summer. So it affects us. Yeah. And even at the end of the spring, there was a lot of, they're putting a sidewalk out front there. Jeez. So, and you know, it's a main artery into downtown Lewis because we're just on Savannah. You know, the schools let out. You had, at that point, you had Shields, which then became Lewis Elementary. You have the hospital, and then you have the high school getting out. So there was just so much traffic. And I don't know about you, but I do not like sitting in traffic. So I don't blame anyone for not wanting to.
I don't even go into Lewis.
Yeah.
It's a shit show.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
So, but DoorDash kind of helped alleviate that because if someone didn't want to deal with traffic, you know, they could get DoorDash. So, and I just don't have enough staff to send them out. Plus, there's liability sending out an employee to do delivery. So, there's just so many hardships in my business, like I said. And, you know, as someone who has fresh food, our profit margins are less than, say, a restaurant has alcohol sales. Like, they help to offset their food cost because the alcohol sales. But it's a tough business to be in, for sure. But with that, we've had great, and loyal customers, yeah. and we've had great support from the community, and I'm very fortunate, and I'm thrilled to be part of the consortium school. And I have a young lady now. She has actual Down syndrome, and I employ her at my other store, and she's just a breath of fresh air. She's always happy. She comes in, you know, you teach her something, she takes it to heart. She'll go home and she'll practice, you know, and she just adds so much to my store. And, you know, my goal is that when people walk through the door, it's kind of like a weight lifted off their shoulders. They're coming in. This is a safe space. You know, you walk in. I don't think you've been in the store yet, but there's lots of light. There's plants everywhere. Mm. So when people walk in, they're like, oh, this is so cute. You know, it just feels like home. And that's kind of what the atmosphere I want to be projected. And so with that, you know, I have taught the other kids too. You know, I just try to be positive. Whatever you have weighing on you, like, leave that at the door, and just, we have to exude just a positive environment, because we feel it. If I'm in a negative headspace, you can tell, you know, especially if we're working together, it's catching, and if we affect one another. So, you know, it's come a long way. I've had some great kids that work for me, so I'm very fortunate there as well. But I'm super stoked about the new space and having the kids there.
Well, I'm super stoked too, because I drive by it every morning and I cannot believe the amount of people. And honestly, this whole area over here is really, I don't know why someone isn't already building restaurants out here, because it's booming out here. And the restaurant business could really do well out here, I think, you know. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And I didn't realize that there was so much out here, but not as many food establishments.
No.
I was very surprised when I heard that, when I found that out. So, but now I realize, because now I've been out here and I was like, yeah, it actually is the case. There's not much out here.
Not much going on there.
No.
Well, listen, so where's your brick and mortar shop is on Savannah Road.
Uh-huh.
Where? Because we gotta get off this. We could chat all day, but I want to make sure. So we got the one on Savannah Road.
Yep, it's just off Savannah Road. Our Volkswagen bus sits right at the edge of the
food
road.
Truck.
So it's very close to the East Village of Five Points, their side entrance, and all the medical buildings. But the actual address is Dreamweaver Lane. There's four businesses back there.
Okay,
and so, I don't know if you have Beatles fans, but Dreamweaver, most people remember. And
Dreamweaver, is that the Beatles?
I don't know. I don't know. Some old song.
Yeah, it's an old song.
But so we're on Savannah there, but 33809 Dreamweaver Lane is our actual address.
And then when do you get to open
the consortium?
Yeah,
I'm hopeful. You know, we have a few more hoops to go through, but hopefully within the next month we'll be open.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll give me a shout out, and I'll make a reel.
You can help me.
Or I'll hire my daughter to make
your
reel.
Kids. Yeah, that works for me.
I'll get my 7-year-old to hook you.
Yes. But that one's
not have a 7-year-old.
But I don't know if everyone knows where the consortium is, but it's off Sweetbriar Road in Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Sweetbriar.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll be there soon enough.
All right. Well, listen, Chelsea, thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you for the bowl. It's absolutely delicious.
You're
welcome. I would have eaten the whole thing, but it's rude and I don't want to do it on the mic. Delicious. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is this your second or third time?
Second
time.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing it the first time.
Oh,
and thank you for doing it the
second
time.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.